Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to the NutriMedical Report. I am so pleased we have our superhero here. He should have a big JB on his shirt, spandex shirt. He's back from his local upper respiratory infection. Now he's back to tell us and discern with the sword of logic, like I call the, Alexander the Great. He said, you know, there's no rule about how to untie this Gordian knot. Well, I try to do this all the time, and I think that's why I have you on starting the first of the week. We got to cut the Gordian knot of the news, because there's only a few people I listen to now anymore, even on Fox. Laura Ingraham, Tucker Carlson, and occasionally Judge Jeanine. That's it. Mm-hmm. Hannity once in a while will cover it, but he kind of covers the top couple of millimeters, and he often repeats this stuff over and over again. And Laura Ingraham and Tucker are my people. And Josh Bernstein. And if you go to his website, which is patreon.com/Josh Bernstein, you can see all of his videos and so on. They're pretty shocking by cutting through the BS of the analysis of what's going on in the real world of geopolitics, because there's some very straightforward things that can be done, that should be done, and some very stupid things that are being advised. So, Josh, I'm going to leave it up to you because I direct this. We have a lot of stuff. We've got Rudy. We've got the upcoming meeting on May 12th, so whether or not they're going to keep the Iranian agreement. We've got Kim Jong-un doing a kind of a reality tour, almost like a television program of hugs and everything of the Prime Minister of South Korea. I mean, this whole thing is like a made-for-TV movie. It's really kind of ridiculous, isn't it?
It really is, truly. And again, it's great to be back on the program with you. Just before we get into our topics, I'm the national spokesman for AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. We're a conservative alternative to AARP. So folks can go to amac.us, or they can call toll-free 888-262-2006. Again, 888-262-2006. Tell them that you heard Josh Bernstein, their national spokesman, on the Dr. Bill Deagle Show, and we'll even give you a free membership. Dr. Bill, please just put that information on the website.
Yeah, that's always forward. Up there. By the way, I'm a member, so that's a recommendation. I'm a member, okay? Excellent. You should be too.
Moving forward with Rudy Giuliani, there's a couple of thoughts that I have on this. Number one, it wasn't criminal what he did. Number two, what this does essentially is takes a campaign finance violation or anything else off the table. Number three, it proves they don't have any Russian collusion, because they're banking everything they can on Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels. And number four, it kind of implicates the fact that the president wasn't being upfront, because of the fact that if he now has agreed and admitted to the fact that he paid off a, quote, porn star, but yet the administration and him is saying that he didn't have any, anything to do with her, well, why would you be paying her off for $130,000 if you didn't have anything to do with her? And the reason that I point this out is because if you remember during the election, during the Trump University debacle, he immediately said, I'm not going to settle, I'm not going to settle, I'm not going to settle. When Corey Lewandowski was accused of hurting Michelle Fields, he said, don't settle, don't settle, don't settle. But yet here we have an admittance that he is saying that he acknowledges the fact that $130,000 was paid to Stormy Daniels. So what is he saying? I guess my thought process is if he didn't do anything, he would have said, don't settle.
Yeah, in other words, it's inconsistent.
There's some inconsistency there, yeah.
Yeah, but the fact is not illegal.
Here's and it's still not as bad as what Bill Clinton did way back when, so, you know.
Let's put it this way. There's three things, and actually, I'm going to be a little sarcastic here. We want people in the White House to have normal hormone levels and normal sexual behavior. Now, it's not unusual for somebody that's moving in his circles to have three marriages and to be, when he's got a love of all these beautiful women, he doesn't have some relationships with some of them, whether they're sole porn stars or non-porn, basically.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is that he did is probably the reason why he's now bumped up over 50% popularity. Not because anybody thinks it's illegal. In fact, the fact that Stormy is doing it, there's people lining up outside the strip club opposite Mar-a-Lago for 12 hours before to see her strip now, and this is 12 years after she supposedly had maybe a one-night stand with Trump. Who cares? Who cares? This is actually, in some ways, advertisement that your man in the White House is a man. Isn't that a shock? Oh, my gosh.
Look, the only one that it should really, truly matter to, and I'll use the left's favorite line, which is what they used during Bill Clinton. They said, wow, that's a private matter. It shouldn't matter how he runs the country. Well, okay, well, fine. Then offer us the exact same, get out of jail free card.
Well, what also means is that he's actually a human.
Melania.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, though, that for the last number of years, he's actually been very stable. We see the transformation of the man. He used to be a strong Democrat. He used to be pro-abortion. He's pro-life now. He's aged. He's changed. Every one of us changes. If you actually look at people through the years of teen years to 20s to 30s, right now, for example, a lot of the teens, if you look at their polls, two times to one, teens and early 20s are Democrats. As they get older, they become more conservative. It's a fact. By the time you're in your mid-30s, yeah, you're definitely going to be conservative because you've already been through the BS. You've learned that the plans of people like Bernie Sanderclaus, I call him, it doesn't work. I mean, Finland actually is terminating their program of free money, and everybody is, I call the Coach Potato Land of Finland. Instead of Finland, we call it Coach Potato Land. How's that?
Exactly. Look, I think, you know, it is true. You know, once you kind of get some life experience under your belt, you start paying taxes, you get married, you have kids, you have more responsibility. You should become more conservative. But look, there was a recent poll out that said that 46% agree with having lifetime income and a government job. So, you know, there is a very large socialist-leaning and progressive-leaning part of the electorate, and that should be frightening to everyone.
Well, I think you have to understand, it's like the statement by Napoleon, never interrupt your enemy when making a massive blunder. The fact is you have to understand that most people don't think, ever, and they don't have an original thought. In fact, I think a lot of people, if they had an original thought, their hair would go on fire with spontaneous human combustion. People should think these things through. Look at other countries. Look at the number of people killed in the 20th century by socialism and communism. Look at Venezuela. Do you want the Venezuelization? Now, you got to understand, Venezuela is sitting on the largest single deposit of easy-to-get-at oil, 7 trillion, with a T, barrels of oil. Yet they're down to their last $10 or $20 billion, and they're eating their pets. And their population are emigrating to Colombia and other places in South America to get the hell away from Venezuela and their goons armed to the teeth because they took away the guns from everybody except for the allies for Maduro. I mean, do you want to have Bernie Sanderclaus oversee a kind of a state where there's no protection of our power grid, no military, no real new need for people to actually make any effort to develop new business or technology?
That's what the left wants.
I mean, honestly, the left doesn't give a crap. And eventually, you got to understand, this is a cybernetic cage. Who's going to do? Who's going to make the food? Who's going to actually drive the vehicles? And again, if you even had enough money and had enough robots to do this, you're going to be in a cybernetic cage. People don't understand this.
No, they really don't.
There's a price to pay. For example, hey, roll up in your sleeve. 2 years from now, by the way, and Trump's got to get rid of this also, you're going to be forced to take up to 271 potential vaccines in the next 5 years. And starting with the national ID, it's required. And he had Bill Gates in the White House talking about the national force vaccines for flu. There's a number of states already that are putting in laws, like California. They got a vaccine for me. I got a vaccine for them, but it contains lead. They want to see some violence. I'm going to unleash the kind of violence that's going to make their blood boil and their skin fall off. How's that?
Hey, you know what? I agree with you there, because no one should be able to force anybody to vaccinate themselves or their children. That Senator Pan, what a piece of work that guy is. I can't believe that guy is even allowed to even serve in the legislature in California. He is such an evil, evil person. And blocking parents from being able to get out of and opt out of vaccinations, I mean, you almost want to hold that guy down and just inject poison.
Yeah, well, as I say, they're pushed now back enough. The pushback that we're going to do on them, the violence of the righteous against evil is a hell of a lot worse than the health of scholar of the devils.
Healthcare reform.
You had an interesting article you mentioned here about teachers having sex with their with teenagers. Actually, this teacher that they were talking about is actually a teacher who was having sex with a teenage boy. Isn't that interesting? Eh?
Well, it's a story that's on the Drudge Report. My buddy James O'Keefe, who I've had the pleasure to interview on my program, did another undercover video, and now there has been two New Jersey Teacher Union presidents suspended after this video has come out. Basically, they have a teacher talking about having a relationship with an underage child. Was not charged criminally for that, but I would assume maybe now charges will be coming, especially because this video shows that this person was doing what, you know, they said that they were doing. There's also on the video the teacher talking badly about other students, which I don't think is part of the protocol that I'm sure the school district would want to put up with. So, right. Yeah, it's teachers, you know, teachers out of control. What was that thing on spring break, that video? I forget what they call it. Teenagers wild, or teachers gone wild.
Right, and believe it or not, the stories that get most, don't get a lot of traction is often female teachers pursuing middle school, recently now endowed boys who then become very easily sexually predated by young teachers in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah, and it's terrible because, you know, look, we were all young once, and, you know, we all had hormones and things like that, but these teachers should know better.
They should know better that when you're 13 to, say, 20, 21, you don't have hormones, you have hormones.
Yeah, that's another
way. And they're not restrained. If you have a teacher who could easily be in a position of power or control, and she's hot, it's going to happen. I mean, it's crazy. And the women have to have some more restraint than that. Then the same thing goes with male teachers. They shouldn't be predating on females, because a 12, 13, 14-year-old girl is not a girl. They're a woman. That's why around the world, and this is the truth, though, by 16, a lot of women are ready not just to have a boyfriend, they're ready to have a husband. You need to understand that until, you know, recently in the 20th century, most women were having their babies between 16 and 21, 22. And by the time they're 22, they're finished having whatever babies they want. They're going on with the rest of their life or doing a career or whatever. Nowadays, they delay their career into the mid-30s or 40s, and then they wonder why they have children with Down syndrome or other problems, because they're trying to have a child at, say, 42 or 45, or using artificial insemination or other technologies to get pregnant. Especially if they previously had an abortion, which decreases fertility, or been on birth control pill or the IUD for years, which reduces your fertility. So we have a crazy society. And it's made. We do. And look at the teachers. There are also social, indoctrination things. Like here in San Diego County, just north of us, Orange County, you can't opt out of what's called gender teaching, where they teach all this gender crap. You can disagree, and you can tell your child that you disagree, but you're not allowed to opt out. I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding. You can't opt out of these classes.
Well, all I can say is, thank goodness that where I live, the school curriculum does not mirror what California does, because I would be on the 6 o'clock news, and I don't think it would be for a good reason.
You have numbers below your chest there, and you do a sideways in the front shot
it
of
would
you.
Not be, it would not be pretty if that was going on in the school district which my child is at.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't put up with that kind of crap. And that's why, for example, if I was Alfie's parents, I'd have a SWAT team come with me with body armor on, and I tell the police and these cops that are actually real tough when they don't have an oppositional force to get the hell out of the way as they get my child to the helicopter to go to Italy.
Yeah.
I would not have succumbed. If I was there, I wouldn't say, we just want to be quiet. We wanted to. No. I would be coming blazing, and I wouldn't just have guns. I'd have exotic weapons, stuff that they say, that's Star Wars stuff. And if they didn't succumb, I'd have them seizuring on the ground. Maybe not killing them, but making their day miserable and breaking their teeth as their face hits the floor. But they wouldn't have a nice day. And let's put it that way, crossing Deagle is the worst thing on God's green earth you can do, crossing Deagle.
Well, we got to protect our children.
Our children. The fact that the parents are succumbing to this is another sign that our society is doomed. The fact that parents, or even, this is the thing that I find interesting, that I'm quite a bit older than you, but people our age and older are not, by and large, confronting the middle, the younger people or the millennials. We're not. We're not kind of dialoguing with them to say, you know what, your ideas are stupid, and here's why they're stupid.
Yeah, and younger people, why are they doing it?
Well, that to me is the worst symptom. It doesn't matter who our politicians are and our leaders. If we disengage and we don't dialogue with people who are, to be honest with you, stupid and dangerously ignorant, they're putting us all in danger because they're agreeing to things that put us all in danger. For example, if let's say 2 years from now the national ID isn't getting rid of by Trump and his gang, or let's say they impeach Trump, which is not likely to happen, but let's say that Trump just doesn't do it, or isn't advised to do it, and they start trying to force vaccinate you, you're going to have a violent uprising in America.
Yeah.
This is not going to be pleasant.
No,
they try to start trying to. You're going to see some vaccinating nurse and doctors die. They're not going to have a bad day. They're going to die in a hail of blood, okay, and guts. It's going to get really ugly.
Bottom line is, everything is changing. I mean, we now have college credits offered for white guilt and white shaming at a college in Colorado. I think it was Colorado Springs. We now have heard that the Boy Scouts of America have actually changed their name, and they've dropped the boy part, and now it's just called Scouts of America, and they're accepting girls. The whole world is topsy-turvy. Disgusting.
I got a good new name for them, and you might like this because you're sarcastic like me. Instead of the Boy Scouts, I got an even better name. Let's call them the Goy Scouts. Girl and boy. The Goy Scouts. What do you think? Is that a good one?
Well, Goy is a different kind of
name. I know that. I'm using it because it's a Hebrew Jewish name, right? It's called the Goy.
Right. That's what threw me off when you said that.
I know. I said that because it's like, you don't get it, you know? And the fact is that it's using a new amalgam to say, I call it my word salad dictionary over clay and iron. It's like, it crystallizes the thought like, what are they doing, okay? Now, first off, you have to understand what boys are. Boys are fumbly. They don't know even what about their reflexes, and they're starting to grow. Usually 2 or 3, 4 years after girls, they're usually starting to mature when girls are already women. And putting girls at the same age into the Boy Scouts, the boys are just, they're screw-ups, and they're just trying to learn how to camp and how to do this and that, and they do not need girls watching them while they're trying to learn how to, after they screw up. They need to be in a separate group. This idea of inserting females of the same age, maybe even bigger than them. You got to understand, if you put a 12 or 13 year old boy with a 12 or 13 year old girl, the girls are at or even taller than the boys.
Right.
They may be much more socially advanced than the boys, and their approach to social things is like this 20 to 25 year old male. Males are not going to catch up to females for a good decade, maybe.
This is the social engineering of the left. This is putting social pressure on gender neutrality and the feminization of the American male. That's what this is about. This has nothing to do with you know, bringing everybody together and allowing everyone to compete in the same event.
Yeah.
No, this has to do with the feminization of the American male, and it has to do with this gender neutrality garbage
that's permeating
our schools and our culture.
I got a new term for you. You'll like it. It's a new game that's going to be put out to replace Monopoly. It's called Genderopoly.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah, roll the dice. It's what you get.
Yeah. Josh, we got lots of stuff to cover here. The primary kind of, if you want to call it, person that was behind Hillary Clinton getting into politics, even marrying Bill Clinton, was Rules for Radicals. Well,
yeah.
I want to go over the things that are being done that are good and not being done right with Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump's done a lot of great things. In fact, there's, I think, 18 people that are actually putting forward to him the Nobel Prize. Well, I think they're a little premature. We've got to wait to see what happens. It's good to kind of think of it. But you don't want him to actually be pushed to the thing where he makes a deal so he can get the Nobel Prize, or, you know, you're massaging his ego. Because one of the things I noticed the characterologically about Trump, if you kind of praise him, even if you're Kim Jong-un or some major leader of, let's say, communist China, Mr. Xi, who's now a dictator for life like Mao Zedong, Trump will say all kinds of good things, not about you, just about how you like his chocolate cake at Mar-a-Lago. So the first thing I'm seeing, I saw this presentation the other day by Bibi Netanyahu, and I have to tell you, it was an excellent presentation, but I got to tell you what, something that I found, there's some very serious anomalies there. The first thing is, I know regular and classified sources, including Israeli intelligence, that those documents were 2003. And they were true. I mean, the Iranians are nuts. But the international community did some things good and some things not good. You can't give an agreement where you can verify in 30 days because they can clean it up, move it around, God knows where the hell they have it hidden.
Right. Exactly.
So if you had Delta Force go in there with our inspectors, and you upgraded the agreement, you can do it. Now, if you tear the agreement, there's a couple of really bad things that can happen, not only to us, but to Israel. If you tear the agreement on the 12th, during the Obama eras, we actually gave tanker bombers, refueling bombers, to refuel the Israeli jets to bomb the Bashar reactor. I know from my sources inside Israel and elsewhere, inside the government, that we have every intention of allowing, if we do tear the agreement up, Israel is going to bomb the hell out of Bashar, like, almost immediately. They bombed the Osirak reactor in Syria, which they had to do years ago in Syria, because the Syrians were building advanced nuclear weapons back, you know, 30-some years ago. This was not a new thing. There are other countries who were building nuclear weapons, including Brazil. We stopped 20 years ago, roughly. And Venezuela had a cult nuclear program, and they had a guy that got charged and actually put in prison for offering to build for Maduro missiles and nuclear weapons. And he worked, actually, at Los Alamos. Okay, so we dealt with this on the show. What I think Trump should do, and he's pretty clever this way, and I just think he does listen to alternative radio, is don't tear up the agreement, because you're immediately going to give a green light to Israel to do something very catastrophic. Now, Israel has to protect itself. I totally agree. They're our main ally in the Middle East. But they have to actually go in and go in there, and I don't want to just send inspectors in where they got the only thing to stop bullets is a clipboard. They need Delta Force in with them. But if there's anything, they need to rip the hell out of it so they don't mature uranium so it's weapons grade, or plutonium, because there's a lot of uranium in Iran. They don't need to mine it from elsewhere and import it. We also need to make sure you can't write on the side of missiles in Hebrew, death to America, death to Israel. You can't freaking do that and expect to get away with it without consequences. But on the other side, if Trump tears up this agreement and doesn't increase it a lot, just like the same thing with disagreement with Kim Jong-un. The mistake he's making is that meeting shouldn't just be Kim Jong-un, it should be Kim Jong-un, Xi, and Putin all meeting at the same place, maybe in Europe. because this is, yeah, you got to think Kim is just the pimple on the intra-abdominal abscess of the geopolitical battle between us and the communist world, because we got two dictators, Putin and Xi, which we can't trust. You got to think of Russia as the wolf or the bear, and they're dangerous. They got 12 times the crushing force of a regular dog that can break your bones, and they're like wild animals. And then you got China, which is like a giant python snake wrapping itself around our world geopolitically and environmentally. They want to sell us popcorn and buy our movie theaters to make sure it's not going to assault the Chinese market. For example, Apple is making giant gains, mainly because they're selling damn Apple phones, the new Apple phone, in China, not because they're selling them here. So you got to understand, even our Intel companies, like, you know, Google and Facebook and so on, are being used by the Chinese to crush their own people. Yet we go along with it. So Putin and Xi need to be at that meeting, because really, Kim is just a symptom, as they say, the pimple on the giant boil, which is Russia and China. And we haven't faced that. And, Trump could disagree
with the fact that Israel should not take a preemptive move against Iran. First of all, Iran has absolutely no bargaining power, and they are not a threat in any capacity at all, not against someone like Israel. So with the fact that they have secretly been behind the back of the IAEA and doing this in a secret facility, Project Ahmad, and they have been doing this, they have all the documents, 100,000 pages of documents, 183 different CDs of all this information, why not take that, bring that to the international community, and say, look, we're not playing around here. They broke the deal. This is how you get out of the deal. Hang on. The deal was done under false pretenses to begin with, because they lied to the international community. So I think that
let me add a few more facts here to it. First, the first thing is those documents are 2003. They're not current. And one of the problems is that I believe that we need to do preemptive action, but there should be layers of it. The first layer is we should basically say we're going to upgrade this agreement immediately. We're sending in Delta Force and our guys. And if you squeak sideways, we're going to nuke Bushehr. And we should tell the Russians in advance what we're doing, so they won't even think about the idea of launching nukes on us. Because we don't just have a battle with Iran, we have Russia. Russia's tied like by an umbilical cord to Iran. So I agree we need to do preemption, but preemption should be financial, which we don't have sanctions on them. Why the hell don't we have sanctions on them when we can't do a 30-day inspection? We can't be there on the spot. Mm-hmm. Number one, okay? But I, you have to understand, we don't have documents after 2003. And now people like Bibi are trying to, you know, wag the dog here and say, look, these documents mean that they lied. Sure they lied. You got to understand what the mullahs are all about, okay? It's the peacock kingdom. It goes back to the peacock throne, etc. They're manipulators. They put a lot of show on. They want to indicate to their people. The Iranians, young people, don't want these mullahs running everything. 25, 30 years ago, Iran, you could have girls with short skirts. People could get a drink in downtown Tehran. Right. It was a great tourist place for Europeans. They've totally screwed it over, okay? And the young people don't want these mullahs running everything. So the mullahs, what they do is they have this back program. Now, I personally think that the Ahmad program, the reason why they kept these documents is because they know there was a sunset provision. And even if they didn't do a damn thing in 2025, which is only 6.5 years from now, they're going to restart the damn thing, and we'd have no restraint to stop them.
Right,
so it doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter whether they did a damn thing or not. But here's the point. If we go in with inspectors and Delta Force, we can castrate the buggers, and we have to, because they've already stated they're going to try to nuke Tel Aviv with 10 kiloton weapons. And they're going to also, their missiles, by the way, and I know this from classified sources, can strike every square inch of Europe. Most people don't realize that. Iran, with these new missiles, can go far enough to actually strike every single capital city in Europe. And the Europeans don't get it. They don't get it, do they?
The bottom line here, and I'm going to disagree with the fact that Israel should not preemptively strike. I think that they should.
Okay, well, if they strike, I'll tell you what will happen. Here's something you need to know. I belong to a nuclear agency of doctors and scientists that the amount of radiation at the Bushehr reactor that would be released would make Fukushima look like a party or Three Mile Island. It would be unfreaking real. It would poison several hundred million people almost immediately with radioisotopes. In that path, it would circulate the Earth 7 times, and it would also create a disaster not only geopolitically locally, but it would also bring us very likely, there's a number of crazy Russians. People have to know, Putin is one of the only Russians that doesn't drink heavy vodka. A lot of the Russians are freaking maniacs. And if we had a bucket,
just, what's worse, having a nuclear bomb in the middle of Tel Aviv or at Bashir?
No, I agree that Bashir is likely to happen. In fact, we talked about this.
We could use nuclear capacity. We could use bunker busters. We could use.
Oh, I know that. I'm aware. But the first thing you do is you go in surgically to remove all the stuff and make sure you have people on site forever. And if they squeak sideways, you take them apart. But, you know, there's lots of ways to take out these guys, the mullahs. They're all sitting in one parliament. You can hit them with a grazer from space, spray them with gamma rays from space, and all of a sudden they drop dead. Josh, you know, so we disagree a little bit in some of the methods, but we believe in preemption, but I believe in a layer preemption. And, you know, I would even use exotic weapons to kill all the mullahs. But I got to understand that we don't have missile defense. We have to make sure the Russians know on side that don't even start something, because we don't only have regular, like nuclear and other missiles. We've got advanced scalar weapons and stuff that read out of Star Wars. And any nation that tries to take on America is going to die so fast they won't even know they ever had a heartbeat.
Well, I think that, you know, May 12th is going to be a big day. I am hopeful that the president decides to get out of the agreement and actually uses the new revelations and information that Bibi Netanyahu has put forward, as well as the fact that they have been cheating. There's Google imaging, satellite imaging showing the Parsons site with, you know, people in hazmat suits. They're enriching uranium right now. They're hiding their program. Obviously, we now know. So I think that all of these things will call for the fact that there's no reason that we should remain in this agreement. If we pull out of the agreement, again, I'm going to disagree. I don't think Iran has any leverage here whatsoever.
No, I totally agree with you. We need
and
to follow
I think
the agreement.
That
but
that time for Israel to take over the reins and do something.
Well, here's what I think. We agree in a sense that with just a little terminology difference. We need to pull out of the current agreement completely, but it needs to be revised on the spot. Like, we need to lay down, this is our terms, this is it, we're not going to negotiate this. It was, because remember, both Macron and Merkel, their entire visit was not here to kind of play footsie or have dandruff flipped off the shoulders of Macron and have a bromance with Trump. The whole point was to say, keeping the same agreement, even though it's stupid as hell and it's suicidal, I agree with you, it has to be changed immediately, but there's layers to this. Just like, for example, when we hit the, and I disagree with them hitting these so-called buildings in Syria with chemical weapons. Luckily, Trump had the sense not to start anything more like last year McMaster wanted a year ago, wanted them to put 250,000 troops in Syria. That would have guaranteed not only a war with Iran, but a war with Russia. Now, we had last week, the Israelis attacked a couple bases near Aleppo and elsewhere, and there were 26 Iranian soldiers that died. We don't know if there's any Russians. We know there's about 200-plus Russian mercenaries that have died already in the war in Syria. Do you know that? These are not regular Russians, over 200. So we need to know we're on the knife's edge to an actual physical conflict where you can have one missile destroyer in the Black Sea, can fire missiles and take out all our military bases in the Middle East, all of them, in a matter of an hour. People don't know that. So we need to have a kind of a roadmap to this so that it's done surgically. Now, if I was doing it surgically, I'd say, number one, rip up the agreement, but have another one and just lay it on the table on the 12th. This is what we're going to do. We're coming in with Delta Force. We're going to scour every damn square inch of your country. We're going to stay here. We're also going to make sure your scientists aren't going back and forth to Kim to get more knowledge. And number two, we're going to have the sanctions back immediately. We're not giving you any goddamn money. Okay? Excuse my English, but not any of that goddamn money. Because it's going to Hezbollah, the missiles, and other things. That's bad. Okay? It's insane what Obama did. I mean, it's insane. Criminal, he should be in jail just for that deal.
Yeah.
The whole
thing has been a disaster, the whole deal, and it just goes to show you how much the past administration despised Israel, our closest ally. They would never have signed that deal if they knew that Israel was going to be at the good end of it.
Okay, now you're aware of the SWIFT banking system. Do you know that that Putin and his oligarchs, about 200 men, run Russia. They're all rich billionaire Russian communists, okay? And yeah. we can actually clamp down their bank accounts in about 2.5 milliseconds if Trump just makes a phone call. Doesn't have to contact Congress or even John Kelly in the White House. He can just do it with one phone call. We should have done that already to Putin and also these PLA billionaires that are running, not only there, but you got to understand, they're the ones setting up these proxy wars all over the world and proliferating nuclear weapons. It's Russia and China. And at the same time, China wants the Belt and Road system so they can project like the Roman Empire all over the world, and they're building roads and railway across South America and everywhere. They even tried to do the Trans-Nicaraguan sea level seaway so they can drive containers right through without even going through a box, and they would change the water systems and even the flow of the North Atlantic Drift toward Europe, and they could put literally North Europe into an ice age. People don't know this, do they? And no, the freaking Chinese wouldn't care less.
There's a lot of chances that are out there that many of these countries do not have the capabilities of using. Certainly, you know, America has a lot of these capabilities right now. But getting back to what I was saying, I mean, right. Israel is one of the strongest militaries in the world.
Oh, yeah, and they're the fastest. They're the lightning. Yeah.
Yeah, they can deal with the Iranian problem themselves. They don't need us. They don't need any other country.
Well, they need one thing. They needed our tanker bombers to be able to refuel our jets to get to Tehran and back. And we already gave them those.
Allowed them to use their airspace.
Yeah.
And so will Jordan.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have those two things and possibly even Egypt. I mean, look, you got to understand, Saudi Arabia does not want to see a nuclearized Iran either. And, you know,
Nobody does in the Middle East because there's so many factions, right?
Exactly. That's absolutely right. Look, you have this big Sunni versus Shia, you know, conflict that's been going on for hundreds and thousands of years. That's never going to change. But I think what's interesting, and actually the Saudi Arabian prince recently said that the Palestinians need to just grow up and get over it and just accept Israel. He said that just a couple of days ago.
Thank God, I believe that
they would help to destroy Iran if it came down to that.
You know, it's amazing. This young new prince actually seems to have a clue, doesn't he? He actually wants to return Saudi Arabia to the pre-extreme days of Wahhabism and insanity. He wants to go to a pre-Wahhabist Saudi Arabia, doesn't he?
Well, I think he does to a point. I mean, look, I wouldn't trust him, you know, as far as I could throw him. But I think with the context of what we're dealing with, I think he sees Israel certainly not as an enemy, where he sees Iran as a much bigger problem to his own power and to his own reign.
Listen, I have friends that are actually members of the Israeli Mossad and Saudi agents in both countries. Did you know that? Do you know that there are actually a number of Saudi agents are also part of the Mossad? Are you aware of that? And that's been not for now. That's been for decades. People don't know that. There's been alliance with Saudi Arabia and Israel for decades. This is nothing new, is it?
They both have a common denominator enemy, and that is Iran.
Yeah, so and also common purposes. Even if they have different religions, they understand that, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. You know the old story?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, let's get real here. But I agree that there needs to be layered preemption against Iran and all the proliferation of nuclear weapons, and it should include, this meeting with Kim should include Putin and Xi. They need to know, we're going to seize your bank accounts, we're going to close down your country, we're going to blockade your traffic of even containers coming to North America, we're going to do stuff, and you're not going to negotiate your way out of this. Because it's not just a Kim Jong-un problem, they're proliferating all over the world. We don't know how many countries could be getting nuclear technology. In 5 years or 7 years, we could be surrounded with countries from South America and all over the place. And all you need is one nuke, and if they put it at 300 miles above our place, we don't even know if those satellites across our airspace by North Korea have already warheads in them. If they blow them, our power grid goes. We have 10,000 UHF step-down transformers, and the world production of UHF transformers is 200 per year. We're not coming back after that. Even though we have all these advanced space-based weapons and everything else, we're done. You know,
well,
America,
I've said this actually for quite some time, that the one thing the American political might, if you will, has not done with North Korea is offer them a declaration to end the war. I'm glad to see that is now part of the process, but it has to be done under certain provisions. You've got to open up Amnesty International so that we can feed and help your people. You've got to dismantle permanently your entire nuclear program once and for all and forever. And you have to sign a declaration that North and South Korea are no longer at war. The 1953 armistice is now an official end to the war. And, you know, everybody can be peaceful, or at least try to.
And you've got to allow North Koreans to travel freely to South Korea.
Yeah, exactly. Open up everything as far as imports, exports, gasoline, oil, corn, futures, everything. I mean, bring them into the 21st century and give them, you know, the ability to take care of themselves and their own people instead of being dependent on China all these years. I mean, I guess if it's sold the right way to the North Koreans, maybe we can empower the North Koreans to take care of themselves rather than depending on China, number one.
Well if you look at...
We can have peace.
Yeah, if you look genetically at the Koreans, these are a tough people. The highest muscle-to-bone ratio, high IQs. They're just suppressed in this little kingdom, this hermit kingdom of the North. I guarantee you, in 10 years' time, if the wall had fallen and they could travel freely, you'll be indistinguishable North Koreans and South Koreans in 10 years.
Right.
They'll have factories, they'll have food, you'll even see fat people up there.
That would be amazing, huh?
Hard to believe. We want to see pictures of fat Koreans, not just Kim.
We want to see big, giant, overweight North Koreans. There you go.
Not just Kim Jong-un.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.